Thousands of Canadians from across the country took to the streets to protest the Trudeau government's carbon tax, and True North was on the ground.
Canada reported the highest population growth in over 66 years.
Housing starts in Canada continue to fail to meet demand as costs and demand soar, according to new data from the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation. Hello, Canada. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Thousands of Canadians from across the country gathered along highways, provincial borders, and Liberal MPs' offices in a Freedom Convoy-style protest against the federal carbon tax. The tax rose to 17 cents per liter of gasoline, 21 cents per liter of diesel, and 15 cents per cubic meter of natural gas on Monday, April 1st. Event organizers at various locations told True North that demonstrators are prepared to stay for weeks in hopes of swaying Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to remove his costly tax. The demonstration saw around 400 attendees by Monday morning, with more arriving each minute. Protesters used traffic pylons to block one way of traffic on Highway 1 heading west towards Banff. Vehicles slowed down and many honked in support, while some protesters tried to hinder legacy media coverage. Demonstrators at the Nova Scotia-New Brunswick border succeeded in slowing traffic to a near standstill, according to the RCMP. Hundreds of cars and trucks lined both sides of the highway with the RCMP, eventually closing the road and diverting traffic to a detour. Another 30 protesters picketed Ontario Liberal MP Jennifer O'Connell's office. Another several hundred demonstrators arrived in Ottawa and chanted freedom in French and English. The demonstration took place on Parliament Hill and included speeches. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre told supporters last month that he wanted them to organize protests at the offices of Liberal and New Democrat members of Parliament to pressure them into stopping the carbon tax hike that went into effect. So, Noah, while I wasn't at any of the major protests, I did see smatterings of little demonstrations here in British Columbia. People got out across the country to show the government that they do not want their taxes hiked at a time when cost of living is at a record high. What's it going to take for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to back down on this, Noah? We now have the majority of premiers opposing the tax and thousands of Canadians taking to the streets to protest.
It would take Justin Trudeau being at the absolute political brink for him to back down on the carbon tax, you know, either the carbon tax hike or the policy in general. And I don't think that will ever happen, at least in Trudeau's mind. He's currently polling, his party's currently polling in around the low to mid 20s, while the Conservatives, they've been polling in the low 40s for a good amount of time now, for a few months now. And it's just clear that Canadians are completely fed up with his government, especially the carbon tax, which has hindered Canadians' cost of living, and their concerns with the cost of living have not improved after April 1st because the carbon tax just increased by 23%, as the Conservative leader has been reminding Canadians over and over again. I don't think there's anything Justin Trudeau really can see that will make him back off of the carbon tax, because he is ideologically committed to it. He believes that his party is doing something great for the climate, that they are saving the world from the brink of, you know, just burning up into a pile of ash by 2100. So he will not back off of the carbon tax unless he feels as if he is he has reached a political brink. Clearly, being down about like 20 points in the polls is not enough for Trudeau. He needs to be punished by the Canadian people even more when it comes to support for the Liberal Party. For him to back down off of the carbon tax. But it remains to be seen if Trudeau decides that maybe before the election in the come the 2025 April 1st carbon tax increase, that they would spike the hike, as Pierre Poilievre would say. But I doubt it. He and his party have already committed so much political capital to the carbon tax that backing off of it would be a real flip-flop. And, you know, what would the Trudeau government have to show for 9 years of governance if they move off of the carbon tax? Canada's population has seen its most rapid growth in over six decades, with new data from Statistics Canada revealing an unprecedented surge, largely driven by temporary immigration. As of January 1, 2024, the nation's population reached a staggering 40,469,000, marking a 3.2% increase from the previous year, the highest annual growth reported since 1957. Canada's real-time population clock shows that the country's population has now broken 41 million just months after breaking the 40 million threshold. Population growth in the fourth quarter of 2023 was the highest seen in the fourth quarter since 1956. Canada's population increased by 241,494 people between October 1st and December 31st of 2023. The influx of 471,000 permanent immigrants in 2023 aligns with the targets set by Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada, yet it is the temporary immigration that has primarily fueled the population increase. A record 804,000 non-permanent residents, including temporary workers and international students, were also added to Canada's demographic tally. According to a recent report by True North's Candace Malcolm, the number of illegal migrants has exploded tenfold since Stephen Harper was Prime Minister. She said that the total number of newcomers in Canada is approximately 2.2 million people annually. So, Cosman, as more and more statistics come out showing that Canada's population is booming, public support for immigration seems to be going down at a corresponding rate, and public support for immigration is the lowest that it has been in years, even decades. So why do you believe that the Trudeau government is committing so hard to ramping up the amount of immigrants that they're bringing to this country? And do you believe that they plan on changing tact in between now and the 2025 election?
So, Noah, I'm just going to back up a little bit, because in February, CIBC released a report that showed the federal government miscounted the population by 1.5 million people. That means also that Canada will require more houses than the Liberals actually thought. We need 5 million houses and not 3.5 million by the year 2030. That's an insane amount of houses in the next few years. It literally adds up to about a million homes. In the United States, they build 800,000 homes each year. Canada has about a quarter of that. So we need to accelerate housing by about four times starting today. And I think that's literally impossible. There's no way to do it without some national effort and some turbo housing building across this country. And the Liberal government simply doesn't have the will, yet they continue to open the taps for mass immigration into Canada without no end in sight. It's astounding. I don't understand what the goal is here. It seems like the goal is to just rob Canadians of their futures and make it impossible to own a home in this country. While Canada's largest cities saw historic apartment construction, their overall housing starts decreased. According to new data from the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, the housing agency's latest supply report examined Canada's six largest cities: Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal. Total housing starts in the six municipalities dropped by 0.5% between 2022 and 2023 due to a decline in building single-detached, semi-detached, and row homes, despite a 7% rise in apartment construction, including condominiums and purpose-built rentals, reached record levels in Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, and Ottawa, with Ottawa seeing its highest level since the 1970s. However, apartment construction fell to an 8-year low in Montreal, decreasing by 34.9% between 2022 and 2023, whereas Edmonton's apartment builds decreased by 10.1% over the 2 years. Apartments were the only housing type to see increased housing starts last year. So, Noah, this sort of gets to what I was saying in the last story. Canada is simply not building enough houses. And when we are building houses, we are building up. We're building apartments. We're not building single detached homes. And I think most people would prefer to live in a home than in an apartment. Is there really any hope for young Canadians like you to buy a home?
Well, there really is not. And it's not just me saying that. Everyone I talk to, whether it's on university campus or talking to my friends from back in high school, whether they're getting a university education, whether they're in a trade, whether they're doing something else, they all say the same thing, that buying a home in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, is absolutely unrealistic. And it's because of poor decisions by policymakers on all three levels of government. I'm well aware that municipalities deal with zoning laws and the approval of new buildings. However, the fact of the matter is that the provinces are the ones who create these municipalities, and the federal government helps to fund not only the provinces, but also municipalities directly. So this is a responsibility of all three levels of government, and the failed cooperation of all three levels of government and just municipalities in general caving into NIMBY demands to not build more homes has just all compounded to create this giant issue. What really needs to be done is that single detached homes and semi-detached homes need to be prioritized in order for aspiring young Canadian families to be able to raise a family in enough space where it's comfortable and it's livable. A lot of Canadians don't feel comfortable raising children or just developing their family in an apartment. And, you know, I see why. You know, if you look at the rate of people who have children from rural areas compared to city areas compared to suburban areas, people in cities have the least amount of children. And that's for a reason. A lot of the time they are holed up in apartments. And, you know, people, they want to have children, even though Canada's birth rate is about 1.3. I think more and more people are realizing that not having children is counterproductive to long-term human happiness. Yeah, we keep building these apartments and, you know, not even building the homes that Canadians actually want to satiate their demand. I think policymakers, they think that they know best, that we must build these high-rises next to transit terminals, and that's going to be the way of the future, which it's not, or at least that's the hope for most Canadians, that that won't be their future. So I think that perhaps a change in the federal government could bring some relief to this issue. However, this is a problem that provinces and municipalities have failed to tackle.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.